第7項
Darwin recognized clearly that the interests of individuals are often in harmony with the interests of larger groups. Consider, for example, the keen eyesight of the red-tailed hawk. At a distance of a quarter of a mile, this bird can see a motionless brown mouse in a pile of dry leaves. This is fortunate, for sharpness of vision is most important for hawks, whose living depends on circling at hundreds or even thousands of feet above ground level in search of rabbits, mice, and other small prey. But that hawks see so well is hardly an accident. The bird's magnificent complex of visual organs and nervous system has developed over millions of generations, in which those with the sharpest eyesight caught more prey and hence left more offspring than their more nearsighted fellows of the same species. The ability to see clearly at long distances is a characteristic that is advantageous not only to individual hawks, but also to hawks as a species. If all hawks had sharper eyesight, the species would do better. For hawks, sharp eyesight is better for one, better for all. The same is true of many other characteristics and abilities. Thus, if all cheetahs could run a little faster, cheetahs as a species would do better. If all sharks had a keener sense of smell, sharks as a species would do better, and so on. There are many other characteristics and abilities, however, for which this pattern does not hold. Consider, for instance, the antlers of the male elk. Natural selection favored individual males with larger antlers because the broader an individual male's antlers, the more likely he was to prevail against his rivals for reproductive access to females. Over millions of generations, this advantage led to a gradual increase in the size of elk antlers, and today the antlers on some males are almost 5 feet broad. But whereas larger antlers help any given male gain advantage over others, they give no similar advantage for male elks as a group. On the contrary, they are positively harmful. The reason is that broader antlers make it more difficult to escape from predators. Once a pack of wolves chases a male elk with 5-foot antlers into the woods, the elk is in trouble. Twist and turn though he might, he simply cannot run quickly through the trees with heavy antlers. This is a serious disadvantage, and it might seem that natural selection could not possibly have favored elks who were thus loaded down. In spite of this disadvantage, however, elks with the broadest antlers had access to more females and therefore left more offspring, even though their lives were briefer. As long as this advantage was more than sufficient to compensate for the increased risk of being caught and eaten, natural selection continued to favor bigger antlers. Eventually, however, the advantage from further increases in size no longer outweighed this risk, and from that point on, antlers grew no further. The important message of this story is that even though all elks would clearly do better if every male's antlers were cut by half, it would not be advantageous for any single male to have his antlers cut. Thus, if a male elk was born with half-sized antlers due to a mutation, he would be at a hopeless disadvantage in the competition for mates. He might survive to a ripe old age, but in evolution what counts is not how long an individual lives, but the number of offspring he leaves. And an elk with short antlers due to evolution simply will not leave many offspring. Big antlers are better for one, bad for all. This example illustrates Darwin's central idea that natural selection can, and often does, favor characteristics that increase the reproductive fitness of individuals at the expense of larger groups. If a characteristic serves the interests of both individuals and the groups to which they belong, so much the better. But when conflicts arise, individual interests often prevail. With this understanding, some modern biologists have begun to recognize a long list of points of animal behavior that are clearly against reproduction at the species level. Thus, in many polygamous species, such as lions, a successor's first act on defeating a dominant male is to kill all young offspring left behind. This practice speeds up the fertility cycle by stopping the females producing milk, and thus serves the interests of the new conquering male who wants to leave his own offspring. Yet it is utterly wasteful from the perspective of lions as a group. In these and countless other cases, we see behavior and characteristics that are better for one, bad for all.